Good evening, Abayi. It sounds so foreign. It sounds a bit foreign to have animals, no? We're not so familiar with having cows in the back garden and sheep in the... But I must say, my grandmother, I remember hearing from my grandmother. We're not going back so many years. My grandmother, she told me that she was brought up in a place called Debrecen in Hungary. And she told me that she was brought up with a cow in the... That I think a few cows, definitely one cow, in the back garden. And that's where they got the milk from. Yes, and she remembered that it was always a fight because some of the children had to get up. She had quite a big family. There was a lot of siblings. It was a very wealthy family, and there was a few. And one of the children had to get up really early to show him the milk. The van would come and milk the cow. And it was a Goyish farmer, it appears, and one of the children had to be there to show him the milk. And it was a fight, that's what she told me, that it was always a fight, nobody wants to wake up so early. And she said that she was always the one that at the end had to do it, because she was being the good girl. So we're not going back so many years. It's my grandmother. Imagine that, back now when I went there to her house not so many years ago. A few years ago I went there and I saw it. It's a very big courtyard. I saw the actual place, and I could picture myself a cow in the back over there. And that was part of life. Part of life. How about reintroducing cows in the back garden? No? Fancy that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because and there was a few chidushim in halacha. I don't know. My grandmother. It must be that the person who actually it was their cow. It was the family's cow. But nevertheless, if it's milked by a goisha worker, they're like a goisha maid and a goisha.
It was milk for them.
Yeah.
It needs to.
That's interesting. It's interesting also that. It's interesting also that a girl can be a shomer. I don't know how old she was then. She may have been a little girl. And that works as a shomer. It's interesting halacha as well. Why not? Because maybe you need over bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. Maybe you need a... Well, nowadays I don't think what anybody knows. Nowadays they would rely on lady shomer. Do they do? They do. So it looks like it was the minig. Can ask for something more to be named. Yeah, that's probably the point. So it's not. So that's that. Yeah. 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 It sounds very foreign to us. Not to milk the cow for breakfast. You milk the cow. You milk it. You know, for breakfast. Yeah. Okay. We are in Siman Shin Chof Dalet, Siv Dalet, which is bottom line of page 310. And Shteta Zoi, Siv Dalet, Kashin Shal Shibolim. We're talking about the straw Shal Shibolim, Shikoshim Bishnaim Bishloshim Mekomois, straw bundles. Straw bundles, and they are tied in two or three places. Do you know how they are tied? Normally, you've got straw, and they're tied in two or three places. Motel atir, you're allowed to untie it. Kedishetoicham ena behemo. So they're bundled up, and it's inaccessible now for your horses to eat from it. So you're allowed to untie it in order for the animal to be able to eat from the straw. They can't eat as it is now. They need to untie it. So you're allowed to untie it in order the animal to eat from it. This is now going on the rule, which we mentioned yesterday, and we're going to be touching on it at least three times this evening, that you are allowed to do anything, not anything, but you're allowed to do a lot in order to enable the animal to eat. If the animal cannot eat, you're allowed to do what's needed for animal to eat. Here again, the bundle of straw is inaccessible for the animal. He needs to untie it. This is permitted, because otherwise the animal cannot eat. Some say, the Rama says, hold on a second. It's not always categorically mutter. We've got to examine and check it out as to whether the knot is a kesher shel kayoma, kesher einu shel kayoma. If it is a permanent knot, he'll be forbidden to open up because that's a deraisa. However, it is a non-permanent knot, it's darbon, and that's only when it's mutter, when it's a non-permanent knot. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be simpler and easier to just cut the string, thereby destroying the security, the tying of the bundle?
Perhaps,
straw,
perhaps,
and
perhaps.
Then you're not breaking Nisa.
Good point.
By tying the
knot. Yeah, perhaps. Good point. I'm not sure.
If it's a permanent knot and you can't then.
With a permanent knot.
So in that case, you're letting the animal starve then. Beforehand, your duty bound to get the animal to eat. So
you destroy the skin by cutting it in that case.
Yeah, perhaps. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
But if you weren't allowed to cut the strings, then your animal wouldn't be able to eat.
What if it is a kesher shel einu shel kayoma? What if it's a kesher shel kayoma? And maybe you have to ask a goy to do it then. I don't know. Perhaps you have to ask a goy. You can't do it yourself. Because according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to open it up. If it's a deraisa. Let's carry on. Avol also leshavshev b'em b'yodayim. You're not allowed to rub it. Kedech she'osim b'ach lebehema. Kedech she'noichim l'ochlam. What you're not allowed to do, if you've got this hay, these bundles of this hay, so normally you want to make it more appetizing. And the way you're doing it more appetizing for the animals, you shavshev b'em b'yodayim, you rub it in your hands to make it a little bit less rough and a little bit more appetizing for the animals to eat. That is also... I will also le shavshev b'em b'yadayim, to rub it with your hands. His kederch, in the way she'oisim b'oich lebehema, the way that it's done with the animal's feet, kedei she'noichim le'ochlam, for it to be more appetizing and easier to eat. Why is that also? We just said that to make something edible is mutter. Very good. That's exactly the point. Because they can eat. That's precisely the point. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The shivui oichel b'dovah she'eino oichel mutter. That's precisely what you are saying. Now, to make something which is a non-food into a food, that you're allowed to do. Something which the animal is unable to eat and consume, you're allowed to prepare that for the animal to eat on Shabbos. However, but if something is just a ticha for the animal, it's difficult. It's not particularly appetizing. It's not particularly great for the animal to eat. But you want to make it easier for the animal to eat. That is also. But to do a tircha with food. Bedova, with something. Which is edible. Already, we're not matriach ourselves. To make it even more bad, even more edible and even nicer. Mishnah Berurah says that the point is that whenever you have something which is a food, well, Shulchan Aruch really says, something is not edible, you like to make it edible for the animal. If something is edible already, but not particularly appetizing for the animal, you may not make it better and to improve it. Hence, in this scenario over here, something which that you want to rub it, you want to rub the hay to make it even more appetizing, because nice is much more, it's much better if it's nice and crunchy for the, and so that's going to be also for the horse. You're not allowed to do that because you can eat it without it. But if you cannot eat it otherwise, then it's going to be mutter. See, hey, eat him shekotzim in elon. The little twigs which were cut from the tree, and those little twigs have been given to the animal, when they are moist. If you've got these twigs, these moist twigs, which are given to the animals to eat, which animals eat moist twigs? If you rub them and then they become... I don't know which animals eat twigs of wood. Little branches of... Rabbits? Okay. Ate some sheep... Pardon?
Sheep mice.
Okay. Perhaps.
Plants, grasses, and
okay, yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah. That's. So maybe that. So eitzim shekotzlam in ha'ilon, Sifei tells us, little twigs which are cut from the tree, v'yesh ma'achilim moistam lebehem, and some feed animals with it, ba'oidom lachim, when they are still moist and wet, matirin, you're allowed to untie them with fast vasin, loshon shevshin, you wrap them, bohem, la'achilom, to eat them, to feed them. because they are not edible yet. You need to rub them and make them a bit more. Yeah, to rub them a bit and to make and to untie them and to make it a bit. That's only then animals are able to eat it. Without it, animals are unable to eat. And that's why it's mutter. Because without that process, they cannot eat it. Shiv cotton yud dalet in the Mishneh Berurah. Again, to make something into an edible food for the animal is mutter. But if it's edible prior to that, you mustn't touch it. And that's what's happening as well. These twigs are not edible beforehand. You need to rub them to make it edible, and that's what you're allowed to do. Shivov. Mechatchin dluin lifnei behemo. You are allowed to cut dluin, pumpkins, before the animal, and that is only shenit l'shem esmol, if they were cut off, they were disconnected me'esmol from before Shabbos. Siv cotton tezvav v'mishneh bura, shenit l'shem esmol, tezayin v'mishneh bura, shenit l'shem esmol, teilu nit l'shu ayoyim, if they would have been cut today, also, they are not permitted to feed the animals, to feed the talton, even to carry them around. Pumpkins which came off on Shabbos are mukta. Because they're mukta. So if the pumpkin came off on Shabbos, it's mukta. Don't touch it. Don't give the animal. But if the pumpkin was cut before Shabbos, then you're allowed to feed the animal because you're allowed to cut it because as long as it came off before Shabbos. Which animals like pumpkins? Which animals are into pumpkins? Who? Okay, so that's what you like to do. But again, if it fell off on Shabbos, it's muktzah. Siv zayin. Mechatchin nevelo. You're allowed to cut a nevelo, a dead animal. You're allowed to cut it into small pieces. Lifnei akrovim, before the dogs. Now that came to me as a little bit of a chiddush. What do dogs like to eat? Bones. They like flesh? Do they like meat? Okay, so that's what we're talking about. What kind of meat do they like?
Mostly dead meat.
Of?
Anything.
Anything?
They might quite like
meat as well.
Might be. Like flesh.
I mean,
they're hunting packs and they'll eat anything.
Anything. Okay, so that's like, so I didn't know that. So that's the Maaseh of what the Shulchan Aruch says. You're allowed to give cut nevelo, meat. Cut meat, you have to cut the meat for the dogs. Even if the animal only died today, so it's fresh, dead meat, you have to give that to the dogs. Whether the animal of that meat that you're giving, whether. One second, that's mamish the point. Whether it was Mesukenes, but it was in danger, it was already like half dead. Bencho Yisubri, or whether it could be that on Friday, as Shabbos came in, it was completely healthy and well, and it makes no difference as to whether it was half dead or completely well when Shabbos came in. Either way, you're allowed to feed this now dead animal. You're allowed to give it to your dog. Vahana Miller, that is only Benevelo HaKosho. That's only if the Nevelo, if the meat is kosher, is tough meat. That is only if the meat is very, very tough meat that the dog is unable to consume as it is, but you've got to cut it. Without being cut. But if it's very soft meat, what's a soft meat? Like if it's and it was soft. So then you're not allowed to cut it on Shabbos. Why not to cut it on Shabbos? Because it doesn't need it. Because as we learned a few minutes ago, you're allowed to make something unedible as an edible food for the animal on Shabbos. But something was edible as it is, you're not allowed to, you're allowed to feed it, but you're not allowed to do anything, you're allowed to process it on Shabbos because it was edible beforehand. Now, you mentioned a very interesting point about it being, what about it being muktzah? What's this animal being muktzah? So that's what Mishnah Berurah actually points out over here. The Mishnah Berurah cotton zayin goes mamash to that point. If cotton zayin, pain shows the bria. But sefer Elia, Eli Rabba, mistapek bevria. He said the Eli Rabba actually is mesupek. He's in doubt about if the animal was well and healthy as Shabbos came in. To lo yoyse died to klal mebodyoim. She Thomas, because nobody had in mind when Shabbos came in that this animal he's going to die. V'yachal mina klovim, he's going to feed his dog with it. This was a very well healthy sheep. never occurred to him that it's going to be a piece of meat a few hours later. It was very well. And he didn't intend to feed his dog with it. And the Eliyahu says, this is actually, no, this is mukta. If it's half dead, if it's a half dead sheep, so in the back of your mind, you say, you know what, if it's going to go to Elamam Emes on Shabbos, then I'm going to use that meat for my dog. You know, you're thinking that in the back of your mind, hopefully it's going to pull through Shabbos, but if not, then I'm going to have some meat for my dog. But if it is, if it's perfectly well, then you don't have that back. It's going to be mukta. Surely it should be mukta. And it appears in the Mishneh Berurah that he's machmir, and he holds that if the animal was well and healthy, then it's mukta, and you can't give it to your dog.
Two very quick questions. Number one, it sounds like from this Shofanara, it's mukta to own a dog.
It definitely is.
Right, there seems to be...
It says a kelevro, a bad, an evil dog, a bad dog. This is talking about a very nice little...
Secondly,
it's about kelevro. You're not to own a harmful, a dangerous dog. So, I'm just pointing out, this is probably talking about a very sweet little, you know, the tiny ones? Yeah?
when someone's a chayla, they need to have someone do shechita for them so they can eat meat.
Yes.
That animal isn't muksa, because it's for the chayla. I mean, unless you want to say it's all the nitcha and it's all pushing away.
It's a good question. That's simashin chofres, I don't remember it. Yeah, why is it not muksa there? I don't recall. Yeah, it could be that it's all part of the over the tchia of Shabbos.
But
I don't remember it.
Like once
I do not remember it. I don't know. We'll get there soon, Mitzvah Shem. Yeah, we'll get there soon, Chofres. Okay. Good. So that's that. So here again, the yesoid is if the nevela is edible as it is, you cannot process it on Shabbos. You cannot cut it. If the meat is too tough and it cannot be consumed by your dog can't enjoy it, then you're allowed to cut it in small pieces on Shabbos, because you're allowed to make something into food for the animal on Shabbos, but you cannot make it into more appetizing. That's the yesod over here, and that's the third time we're coming across it. Seif chef, ches, shulchan aruch, en choytchin shachas. You're allowed to cut a shachas. What's a shachas? Perish, yerek shel tvua. Which is a bit of it's produce, it's growing, it's some tvoa, produce, vegetable, shenikta terem shenisbashlo a tvoa. And the shachas is something which was cut before it was completely ripe. So a semi-ripe produce. Vecharuven, what's charuvim in English? Pardon? Yeah. Carbs, that's right. Carbs lifnei abehim, before the behema. You know how to give shachas and chauvim before the animal. Bein daka, whether it is the thinner ones, bein gasa, whether the bigger ones. Mishum debeloi chituch, because it might not be completely ripe. It might be a little bit harsh. It might be a little bit hard. But you still, nevertheless, you cannot cut it. Mishum debeloi chituch, because without cutting, nami chazil achila, animals can still eat it the way it is. And therefore, it goes again to that same yesod. To make something edible is also, to make something edible is mutter. But if it's edible already, you may not cut it. Sif, tes, and shulchan aruch. Moving on to the next topic. That's now the next topic. And that is telling us about force feeding animals. And oiv sinis hagomol, you're not allowed to force feed a camel. And why would somebody force feed an animal? To fatten it. This was very common. To fatten it. So it says over here, you don't have to force feed an animal, a camel. Tehainu, i.e., you feed it with your hands, kol kach, so much so, achimachivin pnei me'eo, that you are feeding it until the stomach grows and increases. Cave is like a trough. You're like force feeding the camel, like gesund, like proper. A bit more, and a bit more, and a bit more. Veloy doyrsin, so you're not allowed to force feed a camel, and you're not allowed, veloy doyrsin, you're also not allowed to be doyres, what's that? Tainoshe doyres le Michael be groyne, that's even better than that. You're taking some food and you're stuffing it into its mouth, into his throat. And you're going deep inside it. Shadoris lo meichel begroinoi. You're forcing it, you're pushing it into the groin, into his throat. Lemokim to the place she'en yochel achziroi. To the point of no return. You're going right in. Right in. That's like, after force feeding, he's like refusing it. That's
why just a camel?
Pardon?
Any animal, not any animal.
No, that's the example given at the moment. Yeah? No, they love it. But you're allowed to be malit. So what's that? In ma'amirin is agolim. That's false feet. Agolim. It's just a different word. Ma'amirin is agolim, the calves, the little calves. You're allowed to be ma'amir. You're allowed to force feet. Aval malit. In ma'amirin, you're allowed to force feet. Agolim the calves. Aval malitin, but you're allowed to be malit. Ezo amro. What's amro? Lemokem she'en yochol achziro, to the point of no return. If you stuff it in, that they can't. That's also halot lemokem she'ochel achzir, but you're allowed to be malit, which means you put in a place that, in theory, it could still reject it if it wishes to do so. V'din tana goyim avozim k'din agolim, and chickens and geese is the same halacha than calves. So this is all with regards to force feeding and pushing food into animals. Why is this also? Why is this also? Why are you allowed to do so?
An animal, possibly to sell it to someone in the market.
Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah's words isn't if cotton chav dalet hein oifsin kolte mishum tirche yaseira, because you're as you said, it's excessive work. You're stuffing the animal in a very literal sense. You're stuffing the animal. That's hard work. It's hard work to start stuffing animals, and that's tirche yaseira, which is also on Shabbos. I had a shtickle or on that. I didn't see any poskim asking for something else, which I thought might be relevant over here. Exactly. Is that what you said? So I'm not sure why this is not hachona, because the animal does not need that food now. No, he's quite happy with that additional kilo. He's quite happy with that. The only reason why you're force feeding it is not for its current state now. It is because you want it fatter, better, and another kilo, another ton, another thing. And eventually you want to either shecht it or you want to sell it, and then it goes away. Why is that not hachona? You're preparing it. You're right. No, so you're right in principle. You're right. That food pattern, when it comes to us, if you're eating, so you don't have to eat just like, and then you prepare, and then, you know, Mlav the Malk and where about. You're right to eat Kishlema Melech, Peshaitoy, you're right to eat Shalashud as much as you want. And that's not called Achona. But I wondered if the animals, would you say the same thing? Because via the agenda, why are you eating Shalashud is more than for Shabbos? Because you're hungry now and you're eating more. Even the dessert, you're not really hungry, but you're eating because it's a normal thing to eat proper shalashud. Here it's very different because you have a very clear agenda here. The only reason why you're stuffing it, it's for something not Shabbos related. It's you're saying that ultimately it's eating. You're saying Rabbi Feingoldtan, it's ultimately it's eating. So you can't call hachona something it's not preparing because it's actually.
Shabbos,
then
it is hachana, because
Any
meal you prepare for after Shabbos is
hachana. So are you agreeing that it is
hachana? It sounds like it.
The fattening process is probably a long term.
Yeah. So you're saying that so therefore what? Therefore it should be hachana, it's not hachana.
It's not
hachana because you're not actually physically preparing for tomorrow.
It should be after during the week as well, though.
Why? No, we know that it deep down is a bit more hungry. Yeah. I mean, I quoted my grandmother earlier. I remember the way she, when I used to be a child. I don't know if your grandmas were like that as well. You need to have a little bit more. Does that seem familiar to you? Do you have a little bit more? Yeah, we also, I don't know if it's Doris or Doris, I'm not sure, but finish the plate, kind of. So I'm not sure why it's not Tzab Alechaim, I'm not sure, it looks like, but with regards to Achona, it looks like it's It's not considered achana. Okay, we move on to see if you'd mutalit in Michael befiem shultane goylim. With regards to chickens, that's no worry. You're allowed to give a bit more food to the chicken. You're allowed to put a bit of food into the mouth of the chicken, and that's not considered achana. That's not considered a problem at all. So mutalit in Michael befiem shultane goylim. You're allowed to put a bit of food into the mouth of the chickens. See if you'd aleph. Enois li maim. V'lo mizoinois. You don't have to put water. V'lo mizoinois and not other fruits. Lifnei dvoirim. Before bees. V'lo bifnei yoine shayvach. And not before yoina doves. V'yoine aliyah. These are different types of doves. V'lo bifnei chazir. And not before chazir, a pig. Aval noisim. You don't have to put food and water in front of them. Aval noisim lifnei avozim v'tarne goylim. For your basis. So, but you are allowed to put food in front of avozim geese with tarnagolim chickens for your basis, which are domestic. That's the word. Domestic doves. Those you're allowed to feed on Shabbos for chelif ne kelev, and also in front of dogs. Here again is the dogs that you may want to own, which is on the food, its responsibility is on you. So differentiating over here between various animals, some of them you are allowed to feed, some of them you're not. The dvoira, the bee, you're not allowed to feed. You're not put water in front of it, in front of a chazir, in front of various doves, but in front of the tarnagolim, your chickens, you're allowed to put water in front of your chickens, in front of the doves that are considered in your house, you're allowed to, in front of a dog as well, you're allowed to put water. Why is that so? Sefkot lamed alef mishne bura. Vafilu kelev she'enu megad leveisim muta. Even if the dog is not mamish yours, it's still fine. Temetzu k'tzas gam ken little mezoinois. That you're allowed to give a bit of food to the dogs. Kmo she'omu chazal, like chazal says, she'chos ha'kadosh bochu, olof, lefi she'mizoinoisov, mu'otim, u'masha ha'chilosu b'me'ov, she'leis akal she'oshiyom, because he may be hungry. And the Gemara says, ha'kadosh bochu's got achmonos on the animal, because he's got only a little bit of food, and he keeps his stomach, he might be hungry, b'kitzer. And therefore you're allowed to look after him a little bit. V'lifnei kelevre, also, but if it's a dangerous dog, obviously you're allowed to feed it. Also, like a pig, you don't have to feed. So similarly, also kelevra. Mishum da'osa legadol chazerim vekelevra, because you don't have to have them and look after them. So therefore, you don't have to feed them, and therefore, it is also. But depending on the animals, is mutana. Mishbur finishes off. Ishnagem liten chitim. Some at the minute to put chitim. We have wheat grains of wheat in front of neoifos before chickens or birds. B'shabashir and Shabashir, is that your minhag? Shabashir to feed birds. Mishneh Berurah says it's not the right thing to do. Sha'ein mezunos avalecha, because based on the rule that we learned over here, the animal, if it's an animal that you look after, you have to look after, that it's yours, it's relying on you, you're allowed to feed it. If you've got a dog, if you've got a cat, you're allowed to look after it. You must look after it, in fact. Shemizunos avalecha, there's no issa at all. But if it's a random animal, you may not feed it on Shabbos. If you've got there's a farmer and his pigs there, you may not feed it on Shabbos. And if there's next door horses, which are not yours either, you may not feed it on Shabbos. However, the Mishneh Berurah therefore says, it's a well-known and it's a common custom to feed on Shabbos shears on birds, that Mishneh Berurah says, it is wrong to do so because it's not yours. It's not your birds. So don't feed them on Shabbos. That's what the Mishneh Berurah paskens. But it is true that some have that minig. Because they're not yours.
If you keep bees?
If you keep bees, they'll probably manage without you.
So why bring it all together?
Because even if the Amaz are not aloft, it's the kind of animal that is so self-efficient that you don't have to feed it, you don't have to go after it, as opposed to the other animals, which Amaz are not aloft, you're saying, what's the chiddush of the dvoira? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, either you're going to own it, or you're going
to... Even if you own it, it's going to be also. Because it's not mezonos of alecha.
Okay. And secondly, what's the isra in raising pigs?
The Gemara says that in megalim chazirim. You're right.
I mean,
You're right. The Gemara does distinguish. No, I don't remember the Gemara now. If it's some animals are, there's a difference between Eretzol. I don't know about Chazirim anymore. I do not recall. Kelev Ra, for instance, doesn't make a difference in which country. I don't know about. But you're right. You might be right.
If you're raising pigs, obviously not going to be for food. So, is there any issa to be nene from pigs?
No.
In Gansan?
I don't think so. I don't think there's an issa.
No point,
because they eat anything, so they don't need you. Maybe that's pshat, yeah. Okay, let me just summarize and finish off, wrap up the shiur for tonight. We learned a lot tonight. We spoke various examples with a rule of thumb that if the animal is able to eat this particular food without any input, then you may not process it on Shabbos. If that particular food is something which requires some intervention, some processing, then you may do so on Shabbos, because otherwise you can't eat. The examples given was the straw. The other example was the twigs. Then we spoke about the nevela. And then we spoke about the shachas and the chauvin. We moved on and we started speaking about force feeding. Depending on the animal, it is generally also to do so because of tirchi esera. We then moved on about the chickens. You had to put a food in the mouth of the chickens. We spoke about then Sefiut Aleph, which tells us about feeding animals on Shabbos, which is also if mezonosav is not Olecha. I had a shayla a little while ago, and I'm not sure what the answer is. If somebody spent in the summer holidays, he went to a place where there was, I don't know if it was, I don't know which animal it was. It was like a small holding, and he rented out the property for 2 weeks, and there was animals there. As to whether there was the halacha with regards to Shabbos, do they feed the animals? And I don't know if it was donkeys or horses or chickens or perhaps even. And what about the halacha? Is that if you're on small holding over Shabbos? Well, I don't know.
Unless he asked you to do it.
Exactly, yes. I think if they ask you to do it, then it's zikr, then it's definitely mizonos of Allah, it will be mutter. If they didn't ask, then, yeah, perhaps not, I'm not sure. Yeah, perhaps we'll do also then, perhaps, yeah, probably. Okay, good evening, Abbas.